ॐ तच्छंयोरवृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शन्नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We pray and worship the Supreme Lord for the well-being of all. May all miseries and shortcomings leave us forever, so that we may always sing in the worships and sacrifices for the Lord of all sacrifices, namely Vishnu. May the medicinal herbs grow in potency so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May the human beings be happy. May all beings, animals, be also happy. May there be peace, physical, mental, and spiritual. May peace be upon us all, always, forever. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Good morning. Welcome. We have another opportunity to continue our study of Shankara's hymn, Sadhana Panchakam. As the name itself indicates, this short hymn contains only 5 stanzas, Panchakam, and it contains a number of spiritual disciplines to be practiced to reach the highest goal. In 5 stanzas, Shankara has given a list of 40 different disciplines. It is simply a list of disciplines that we have to practice. We cannot do all of the 40, but we can choose a certain subset of that 40 disciplines which is appropriate for us, for our individual personal sadhana. So far, we have done only 3 instructions of the 40 instructions. The first instruction was Vedo Nitya Madhiyatam. Second instruction, Taduditam Karma Svanushtiyatam. Third instruction, Teneshasya Vidhiyatam Apachitihi. Those 3 we have done. Vedo Nitya Madhiyatam. Every day we have to study some scripture. Veda means not necessarily only the 4 Vedas that we have all heard about. Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda. Veda generally means knowledge. Knowledge means self-knowledge. Not aparavidya, not worldly knowledge that we have to study for worldly life. Veda means scriptures which give us a spiritual foundation for our life. So we studied in detail what is the reason that Shankara places this as the first instruction, study of scriptures. Then the second instruction, Taduditam Karma Svanushtiyatam. The instructions given therein, in the scriptures, have to be put into practice. It is not enough to merely study the scriptures. It is necessary, but we have to follow the study by the actual practice of the instructions given in the scriptures. Teneshasya vidhiyatam apachitihi. And whatever spiritual practice we do, we should convert all of that into worship. And with a worshipful attitude, we have to do all our spiritual practice. Apachitihi means worship. Tena means karmana, by all the karma that we do, spiritual, as well as secular duties that we have to do. Through all of these, we have to worship the Lord. Everything is a worship of God. The only exception is Nishiddha karma, which we should not do at all. Prohibited actions. Nishiddha karma means prohibited actions, which we should not do. Prohibited actions or immoral, illegal actions, harmful to oneself and to others. That we should not do at all. But all other actions, vihita karma, prescribed duties, required duties, we have to do as worship of God. This is one of the principal teachings of Sri Krishna in the Karma Yoga portion of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, the fourth instruction, kamye matis tyajyatam, give up hankering for worldly pleasures. Kamya means kamya karma, can also be the meaning. Kamya karmani matihi tyajyatam, give up kamya karma, which is an important instruction given in the Gita by Sri Krishna. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo viduhu. The essence of renunciation is to give up kamya karma. Last time we saw the various aspects of karma. Nishiddha karma, kamya karma, nishkama karma, vihita karma, nitya karma, naimitik karma, all those things we studied in some detail last time. Kamya karma means selfish action. Any action that is done with a selfish motive, expecting some personal benefit for oneself. Desire. Motivated by desire, that is kamya karma. Or sometimes to prevent something unpleasant, also we do kamya karma. Sometimes to prevent some impending problem or adversity or something that may not be impending but we fear may come, out of fear, motivated by fear, also we sometimes do spiritual activities, certain kinds of worship, etc. That's all kamya karma. Kamya karma means expecting some benefit, such as a progeny, a spouse, health, money, power, position, promotion, or some other benefit we have in mind. In order to gain that one, we do some worship or some japa or some spiritual practice. That is kamya karma. One meaning is kamya matis tyajyatam. That kamya karma we should not do. Why we should not do, we will examine now today. The second general meaning of kamya means anything desirable object. Some object, experience or event or something for which we are hankering, we have a desire to achieve. In general, give up desires. That is the widest meaning of this instruction. Give up desires. And give up desire-motivated actions. If you give up desires, then we don't do anything to fulfill the desire. If the desire is not there, then we don't do anything to fulfill the non-existent desire. So first thing is to give up the desires. Is it practical? Can we do it? How to do it? Those are some of the things we have to try to understand. The reason why Shankaracharya says, give up actions motivated by desires or give up all desires, this topic has come again and again, the topic of desire. There was a series of talks, I think 8 or 9 talks, Sunday talks, with the title Desire and Consequences some years ago, right here. But we have forgotten that one. Why we should give up desires? We have this notion that if we fulfill the desires that arise in our mind, that will bring us happiness. That is our notion. Now we have to examine the validity of this notion. Is it true? Now scriptures say, and sages are saying, And with a little reflection, our own experience also shows that that is not true happiness. No doubt a certain happiness will come whenever desires are fulfilled. Supposing I want to get a promotion to a higher position in my workplace, or I want to buy a house or a car or something, I have a desire, and somehow I struggle and fulfill the desire, then for some time I'm happy. But Vedanta says that is not true happiness. That kind of happiness which we seem to experience when we fulfill our desires is not true happiness at all. But we feel happiness when desires are fulfilled, but that is only an illusion. That happiness lasts for a short time, and long before either a new desire comes or the same desire comes back with greater strength, returns. And again we are in a state of restlessness. Desire means a state of restlessness. I want something, I'm hankering for something which I don't have. Desire means wanting to have something that I don't have right now. Why desires have to be given up? The very existence of a desire in our mind is an indication that we experience emptiness, imperfection, incompletion. A state of incompleteness we are experiencing. If this desire is fulfilled, if this object is acquired, if this experience is gained, then I will be happy. Right now I am not happy. In the absence of that, I am not happy. That state of feeling of incompleteness, state of emptiness, is what we call desire. And that is not the ideal state. That is not our true state. That's not our pristine state in which we should be ideally. Ideally, if we know that we are not the body and the mind, we are the Atman, we are the Self, which is paripurna, perfect, complete in every way, nothing is lacking, nothing is wanting. If we experience that fullness, total completeness, oneness with the Divine, then where is the room for anything, any shortcoming? Where is the room for any desire? So the sages have said in the Upanishads that the happiness that comes from the fulfillment of desires, desire for some object that we don't have right now, if I acquire that object, I'll be happy. That state of mind is desire. Desire for some experience which I am not having now. Desire for some activity that if I do that one, if I achieve something, some power, position, name, fame, or some status, that will bring me happiness. That is a state of departure from the ideal state in which we should be. We are that perfect, complete Parabrahman, Paramatman, we are that. That thou art, the Upanishad says. But I am not experiencing that. I am experiencing shortcoming, I am experiencing a state of incompleteness. That means I am not in my perfect state in which I should be. I am in a state of imperfection. I have fallen short of the ideal in which I should be established. That is, the state of desire itself is an affliction. When I have a desire, I am an afflicted person. This is what the Upanishad says. And true happiness is a state of total desirelessness. Desire is like itching. When itching comes, the mind itches for something. You scratch, and then the itching does not go away. You want to scratch more. The desire is like that. It is chasing the imaginary, the illusory state of happiness, which already is within us, but we are not able to experience it. So desire itself is a state of incompletion. Desire, the existence of desire in my mind is an affliction. And true happiness is a state of total desirelessness. Then there is no hankering. I'm already fully satisfied. Nothing can increase my happiness. If I'm experiencing a state of total perfection, completion, So much joy that human frame cannot withhold, as Sri Ramakrishna, other sages used to experience. Then where is any need or want? Where is any incompletion? You are already perfect. Perfect Krishna cannot be improved. He is already perfect. You cannot add something to make it bigger or better. You are already in a state of maximum achievement, perfection. That state of existence in which there is no room for any desire, no incompletion, no imperfection. Desire means imperfection, incompletion. When that is not there, you are full, paripurna, you are perfect, you are complete in every way. So much bliss, atmananda, that you cannot describe or even experience. People going to state of unconscious. Sri Ramakrishna used to become, the whole body would become inert and nothing would function. That is a state of true happiness. Nothing can make it bigger or better. There is nothing needed to complete it. So the state of desirelessness, total desirelessness, is true happiness according to the Upanishads. So there is in the Mahabharata, it's a huge epic, as you know, the biggest epic, 100,000 some verses. Somewhere this verse is there. Yachcha kama sukham loki, yachcha devyam mahat sukham. Trishnakshaya sukhasyete narhate shodashim kalam. If you add up all the happiness that you can get through every and all worldly means, anything that you want, you have it. Imagine a state of that satisfaction. Anything that you can think of, you have it. Such a state of a hypothetical human being is described in the Upanishad, in Taittiriya Upanishad. Asishto dridishto balishtha. The whole wealth of the entire world is at his disposal. Nothing is lacking. There's nothing else that can be added to that person's happiness. Imagine such a person who has maximum possible worldly happiness that anything can bring. He has that. Imagine such a hype. There is no such person in actual practice, but imagine that there is such a person. And add to that happiness, yachcha divyam mahatsakam, all the heavenly happiness also that person can enjoy in future. Add all of that. The sum total of all this worldly happiness, sum total of all the heavenly enjoyment, heavenly felicities. If you get all of that, the sum total of everything that you can imagine, that you can have, does not even equal 1/16th of the small fraction of the joy of the self. Narhate trishnakshaya sukha. So trishnakshaya sukha. Sukha means trishnakshaya. Trishna means hankering, desire. When all the desires are fulfilled and there is no room for any more desire. If everything is that you want, you already have, then what more do you want? Everything you want, you already have. A state of total perfection. A state of total freedom from desire. No desire at all. You have reached that stage. Then there is no more hankering for anything. There is nothing more that you can want or think of. You have everything. That state of total desirelessness, trishnakshaya sukham, the joy of total freedom from all desires. Trishnakshaya sukhasya shodashim kalamin api na arhate. This, all the desires that we get by fulfilling our worldly desires, acquiring things and experiencing experiences and everything, does not equal even a fraction of the joy of freedom from desire. The true happiness, the Upanishad has established that true happiness is not gained by fulfilling some desire, but true happiness is to reach a state of total desirelessness. There is a very expressive term to indicate that in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Such a person who has no desires, totally happy, not afflicted by any desire, is called an akamahata. Shrotrijasya chakamahatasya. That phrase comes several times in the Upanishad to describe a person who is absorbed in the greatest possible state of bliss, that nothing can enhance it. There's nothing you can add to make it more or more intense. That is true happiness. And that is our inherent nature. That is the important thing. We have forgotten that one. Instead of that, instead of experiencing our inherent nature, which is our birthright, we are that. Upanishad says, you are that. And we are unable to experience it for some reason. And we are reaching out for a few colored pieces of glass, hoping that this will bring me happiness, this will bring me happiness, this will bring me happiness. That is misery, not happiness. We erroneously call it happiness. All of this is nicely explained in one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, shloka 22. I will come to that verse a little bit later when we go to the next instruction. But now, let me add one more thing to this. State of desirelessness, trishnokshaya sukham. When Lord Vishnu, this is a story, somewhere in the Bhagavata. Bhagavata is another great Purana, one of the 18 major Puranas. Lord Vishnu asks his favorite devotee, Prahlada, young boy, you know, what would you like to have? Ask me for some boon. God is asking, ask me for something. He's giving you a blank check. Prahlada could have asked for anything. He could have asked for liberation. He could have asked for a kingdom, whatever. No. You know what he asked for? He says, Ya priti ravivekinam nam vishayeshwanapayini tva manusmarata swami hridayanmapasarpatu. He says, may I have one desire? He still has a desire. What is that desire? May I have that strong desire to be always in constant association with your lotus feet. That desire which ordinary people have for worldly things, for possessions, money, wealth, fame, experience, sensory pleasures, etc. Instead, may I have the desire to always be in association with your holy feet. Avivekinam anapayini visheshu yapriti. Whatever ordinary people cherish, desires they cherish for worldly things, worldly objectives, worldly possessions, worldly experiences, may I all of the desire only for one thing, and that is for your lotus feet. May I be always devoted to you. That is one desire I have. Grant me devotion, in other words. But Vishnu would not leave him. He already has that one. Otherwise he would not have prayed for that one. Vishnu says, no, ask me something more specific. Then Prahlada comes up with another request. He says, Yadi dasyasi me kaman karan varan svam varadarshava kamanam hridya samroham bhavatastu varam rane. He says, if you want to give me a boon, grant me one boon, and that is, make me completely desireless. Take away all the desire from my heart, because that is true happiness. Having some desire, asking the Lord to fulfill that desire, and experiencing that the fulfillment of the desire, that only gives temporary happiness. Adyantavantaha, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, it comes and goes. That kind of happiness which comes from fulfillment of desires is very temporary in nature. And after some time it fades away. It's not lasting. Natheshwaramate buddha. Therefore, a wise person does not take any delight in that kind of happiness which comes as a result of fulfillment of some desire. That is not what wise people want. Buddha, teshu naramate, teshu bhogeshu. In such worldly pleasures, fulfillment of desires, worldly desires, wise people have no interest. They want only pure devotion. So that is why Shankaracharya says, the fourth instruction, kamye matihi tyajyatam. Kamye karmani, in all actions that are motivated by desire for fulfillment, motivated by desire for happiness, seeking fulfillment of some desire, there is no use doing those activities. Why? We will examine more on this matter in the next instruction. Next instruction. Fifth instruction. This topic will come back again. Desire will come back again. So I'm keeping something. Fifth instruction is the easy one. Papauga paridhuyatam. Papauga paridhuyatam. May all the sins be washed away. Papa. The flood of sins, the sum total of all the bad deeds we have done, those impressions that we have gathered, unhelpful impressions, which are creating trouble now, that is sin. Papa means the effect of our past sinful deeds, which we are feeling now. This can be reduced. To reduce these things, to wash away all these sins, we have to do three things. First thing is, we have to stop doing new sins. There is no use saying to God, "Oh Lord, I have done all these bad deeds, please forgive me for this." And then again doing the same things or similar things. That is no use. It is just like trying to fill up a tank and while at the same time opening the tap at the bottom of the tank. Water is going away. No matter how much you put in at the top, it will still remain empty. That's no use. First thing we have to do to wash away our sins is to stop incurring new sins, in doing new bad deeds. Then our any effort will have some meaning. We have to stop the leakage. We have to stop doing nishiddha karma, first instruction. That we know, we already understood why we should do, why we should stop doing nishiddha karma. Nishiddha karma means all kinds of undesirable, immoral, illegal activities that will create harm to us and to other beings. No one in the future. Telling lies, cheating, stealing, that we don't have to dwell on those things. We are familiar with those things, nishiddha karma. We don't do that. First step to wash out these sins. Second step is an instruction that you study in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter. Sri Krishna says, you have to do three things to purify yourself. What are the three things we have to do according to Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 5 and 6? There he says, yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyam evatat. Yajna dana tapah. We'll try to understand these three things. Yajna dana tapah. Natyajyam. We should not give up at any time, at any cost. Karyam eva. We have to definitely do. Is required of us to wash out our sins. Yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyam eva. Because why we should do yajna dana tapas? Next line, Sri Krishna explains the reason. That's what we are looking for. Yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani manishinam. If we do these three things, yajna dana tapas, it will purify our minds. That is the biggest hurdle. Impurity of the mind is the biggest hurdle to experience the fullness to which we are entitled, which is our intrinsic nature. We are not experiencing it. Why? Because the mind, the impure mind, is acting as a big shield, a thick concrete wall between me and the happiness to which I am entitled, which is my true nature. That has to be removed. Why? How? Three means are given in the Gita. Yajna dana tapas. Yajna means one of the specific meaning is Vedic rituals, certain kinds of Vedic rituals described in the Veda, very elaborate rituals, yajna, putra kameshti yajna, all those things, those are kamya karmas. Those are certain other yajnas which are described in the Veda, which I am not familiar with. The ancient rishis used to do. That is one meaning of yajna. But how can we do those yajnas? The general meaning of yajna means any unselfish activity done without expecting any personal benefit as a sacrifice. That is yajna. Sri Krishna gives an instruction on how to convert all our activities, barring nishidha karma, prohibited actions we should not, that we should always remember. First step. Any activity that we do, Narada classifies them into two kinds. Loka vyapara, Veda vyapara. But actually the difference between secular activity and spiritual activity becomes less and less blurs, and then everything becomes spiritual activity. What at first appears to be secular activity, like going to work, preparing food, eating, and then doing laundry, cleaning, maintaining the house, taking care of children, all those activities that we do, we call them secular duties we have to do. But a stage will come when all our activities will be done as spiritual activity, as worship. This is an important instruction that Sri Krishna gives in the 18th chapter of the Gita. He says, whatever you do, do it as worship. By doing this, we'll achieve perfection, Sri Krishna says. Svakarmana tamabhyarchya siddhim vindati manamaha. Svakarma means our respective duties. Our duties are different from person to person. And for the same person, duties change with time. What is my duty today was not my duty time ago. And what is going to be my duty will be different from what it is today. With time, for the same person, duty changes. It's a highly variable nature. Swami Vivekananda has explained the very highly variable subjective nature of duty. It's not possible to give one objective, universally applicable definition of duty. We have to say it depends. If you ask the question, what is duty? Then we have to say it depends. It depends on the person and the stage of life in which he or she is at that time. Changes with time for the same person. At any given moment, it is different for different people. But whatever happens to be my duty at the present moment, today, now, for me, if I do it as worship of God, if I dedicate it to God, offer it to God, my humble offering, my humble worship, that is enough to purify my mind. That is yajna. For me, for people like us, yajna means does not the elaborate Vedic rituals described in the Vedas. Yajna means doing all our activities as if it is worship of God with the same worshipful attitude. Emulating the example of Brother Lawrence that came last time. Whatever we do, Yata pravrittir bhutanam, 18 chapters, verse number 46. Yata pravrittir bhutanam, yena sarvamidam tatam, svakarmanatam abhyarcha, siddhim mindati manamaha. By worshipping him, from whom the whole universe and all the beings have evolved, and by whom this whole universe is pervaded, through all our activities, doing all our activities as worship, by doing that, what happens? Manamaha siddhi mindati, a human being achieves perfection. Mind becomes pure. And the chief and only obstacle to self-experience is removed. That is the simple instruction. How to do this one? Sri Krishna has given more detailed instruction in the 9th chapter. Chapter 9 of the Gita, Shloka 27. He says, whatever you do, yatkaroshi, tatkurushama darpanam, do it as an offering to me. You take the first phrase and the last phrase of this verse, 27th verse in chapter 9. That is enough. Yatkaroshi, tatkurushama darpanam. But then he gives some examples in between. Yatkaroshi means whatever I do, everything I do, can I do it as worship? Of course. Everything without exception. Exception is Nishiddha Karma, of course, that we know already. We don't do bad deeds and call it worship. We can't do that one. Other than that, everything else we do, such as eating, I eat so many times every day, several times I keep on eating. Can I do it as worship? Sri Krishna says that is the first thing you have to do as worship. Among the in the list of examples that he has given in that verse, he mentions eating as the first example. Yat karoshi yadashnasi, whatever you eat, do it as an offering, as a worship. That's why we say brahmarpanam. It's an offering. The Lord is sitting in my body as Vaishwanara, the power of digestion. It is He who is the recipient of the food I put into my mouth. I think I am eating, but I am making an offering to Him. It's an ahuti. Every morsel of food I take in when I eat, every sip I drink when I drink, is an offering to the Lord. Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha. In the form of Vaishwanara Agni, the power of digestion, I have taken up residence in the bodies of all the beings. Not only human beings, animals and plants also. He is present as Vaishwanara. Therefore, everything I eat is an offering, should be made as an offering to Him. With reverence, we have to eat. Yadashnasi, yajjuhoshi, whatever ritual you do, homa, dadas, yet whatever charity you give, small or big, in cash or kind, whatever charity we give is an act of worship. You should not say, I'm giving to help you. No, I'm worshipping the Lord in you. With great gratitude to that person who is recipient of our charity for giving us an opportunity for our spiritual upliftment. I should be the one who should be grateful to Him, not expect gratitude from Him. Swami Vivekananda explains it in his Karma Yoga lectures. In the Karma Yoga book, small book, there are 8 chapters. The title of one chapter is, We Help Ourselves, Not the World. There, Swamiji explains, when we do some charity, do some service, do some work, humble, big or small, whom are we helping? We think we are helping that other person. No, it is erroneous understanding. I am helping myself. I should be the one who should be thankful to the recipient of my humble service. Because that person is providing me an opportunity for my spiritual upliftment. With gratitude we have to help. With humility we have to help. Taittiriya Upanishad says how to give charity. Sraddhaya deyam. With earnestness, we have to give. Ashraddhaya adeyam. Without earnestness, we should not give any charity. Hriyadeyam. With humility, we have to give. Shriyadeyam. Consistent with our means, we have to give. Bhiyadeyam. With modesty, we have to give. Not with pride. Not with disdain. With modesty, with humility, with love, we have to give. That is how we have to do all our activities. Yat karoshi, yadashnasi, yajjuhoshi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi, whatever tapasya we do, japa, meditation, puja, pilgrimage, whatever we do, all of that has to be done. How? Madarpanam, tat kurusha madarpanam, Sri Krishna says. Do it as an offering to me. This is my humble offering to the Lord. Not I am doing it to help somebody or to make the world a better place to live. I am doing it as an humble offering, as a loving offering to the Lord. This is my worship. With that attitude we have to do. Then all activities will become yajna. Mind will be purified. What happens? The result is, as Sri Krishna says, manavah siddhim vindati. In that commentary on that on the shloka, shloka number 46 in chapter 18, Shankara says, siddhi means moksha. It paves the way for the highest realization, for liberation. So that is how to purify the mind. Yajna. That's the first one of the 3 things that Sri Krishna has mentioned on how to purify the mind. Yajna, danam, tapas, saiva, pavanani, manishinam. 3 things purify our mind. Second is dana. Dana, we already saw how to do dana in the 17th chapter. Sri Krishna has described three kinds of dana, three modes of dana, attitudes with charity. Dana means charity. Three kinds of possible attitudes with which we can do charity, help somebody in service or in cash or donation or some material, something that we give, something, some service that we render. It's all dana, shramadana, like that. How we have to do that one? We can do it with a tamasic frame of mind, with a rajasic frame of mind, or with a sattvic frame of mind. Sattvic frame of mind is what we have to cultivate when we do some charity or service to somebody, even to an animal. Even when you pour water to a tree or a plant, with sattvic attitude, we have to do that one. That's our service, that's our worship. When you give a glass of water to a hungry dog, you're doing charity. You're doing worship, this worship of Narayana. Narayana Seva it is. Doesn't have to be always big time charity. Any humble service that we do. He says, Sattvik Dhanam, Dātavyamita Yad Dhanam, Diyate Anupakarine, Deshe Kale Cha Patre Cha, Tad Dhanam Sattvikam Smritam. Sattvik Dhanam, charity, done with a sattvic attitude. It has to be given, help has to be given, donation, whatever has to be given, to a person from whom we cannot expect anything in return as a favor. If we have some expectation in mind, I give this much to him, he should give this much back to me, or he should do this to me in return, then that is not sattvika dana. Anupakarine yad dhanam diyate. That charity which is given to a person from whom no return favor can be expected, that is sattvika dana. Dātavyamiti yaddhanam, it has to be given, not expecting anything return in return, not with a motive that something will happen to me, he will return this favor to me when I need his help in the future, I can count on him because I did this favor to him today. Not like that. Deshe kale cha patre cha. Three things we have to consider when we give charity or do render service. At the proper time, kala, in the proper place, and to the proper recipient. If you give food, we should give food to a hungry person. When he is hungry, when he has just had a meal, if you give another meal, it is of no use to him. The kala is not right. The patra is okay, that person is in need of food, but he has just had a meal. So there is not the right kala, right time. Time has to be, the timing has to be good. Timing is the essence of dana. Desha, deep in the proper place, in private. Patra, to the proper recipient. If person already has all these things, you give one more Christmas gift, another tie or something, that person will put it or recycle the gift. You should give it to a person who can use it, who is a needy person. Deshe kale cha patre cha. Tad dhanam sattvikam smritam. By doing this kind of dana with a sattvic attitude, mind becomes purified. Yajna dhanam tapaschaiva bhavanani maneshinam. Second thing, yajna dhana. Two things we have seen. Yajna means doing all our activities as worship, as offering. Dana means doing it to a sattvic frame of mind, not expecting anything in return. Actually, to a person from whom we cannot expect anything in return. If you give some a Christmas gift to some relative, then there is an expectation that that person also should give me a Christmas gift. That should not be there. We should not be in a, that person should not be in a position to help us. There is no expectation possible. Anupakarine. We have to give dana. The third thing that helps us to purify our mind is tapas. Yajnodanam tapaha. Tapas is of many kinds. Some years ago, there was a series of Sunday talks here on the title, with the title Austerities, Practice of Austerities, 9 lectures or something. Lot of different kinds of austerities. I've forgotten what I said. But If you remember one thing, that is sufficient. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna said, of all the possible kinds of austerities, there's one austerity which is most direct and most efficacious, unfailing kind of austerity. What is that one? Yajnanam japa yajnosmi japa is the best kind of austerity. We can do many kinds of austerities. We can go on pilgrimage, we can do charity, we can do many works of public benefit. As Shambhu Malik wanted to do, building hospitals and dispensaries, all those things we can do. Or we can do ritualistic worship, we can sing devotional songs, we can go to temples, all those things. Many kinds of spiritual practices are possible, tapaha. But of all of them, the simplest, most direct, and infallingly efficacious is japa. Yajnanam japa yajnosmi. In the 10th chapter, Sri Krishna has said. Of all the possible austerities, japa is the best austerity. Japa means repeating a name or a mantra of the same deity over and over again with as much devotion as possible. See, Ramakrishna has described japa in this way. Imagine that there is a huge log of wood in water, quite far away from you, miles away from that log of wood. But luckily, there is a long chain, that is, one end of the chain is tied to that log of wood, and you have the other end of the chain a long distance away from the log of wood. Now you have the link already in your hand. You have the connection to that log of wood. We all have that connection. No one is denied of it. We all have that connection to the divine because it is right there in our heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha, the Lord says so many times in the Gita and in the Upanishads. I am present in the hearts of all. It's within us. You don't have to go far to a different geographical location to find God. He's right where we are. It is within us. It is our intrinsic self. Undeniable. So we don't have to look for that connection. How am I going to connect myself to God? You are connected to God every time. We may not be aware of the connection, but it is there. Nonetheless. Therefore, that chain is already there. We are holding on to the chain. And how do you advance towards the log? That's our goal. By moving forward along the chain, one link at a time. In course of time, you will reach the log, other end of the chain. You have to, unfailingly. So that is japa. Every time we repeat our mantra or the name of God, we are advancing by one link along that chain. You are getting that much closer to the divine. You don't have to go anyplace else, do anything else. Constantly, inwardly, mentally, repeating the name of God or mantra. Every repetition of name takes us one inch closer to the divine. That much closer to the divine. And it has to take us to that. Because the chain leads to the log. To no other destination but to God. Japa leads us to God. So yajnadana tapa. Of all the tapas, austerities, japa is the best one, according to Sri Krishna in the Gita. So these three things, if we do, then these three practices, yajna dana tapa, sacrifice, offering everything to God, dedicating everything to God, and charity with the proper attitude, tapas means austerity, important one. Other kinds of austerities are also possible. But this is the simplest one. Everybody can do. How effective it is, you remember the story of the Russian mystic whose name we don't know. The Way of the Pilgrim, I talked about that. Several times it has come. One of my favorite books. The book is called The Way of the Pilgrim, and the pilgrim continues his way. Author is unknown because this happens to be the journal, the diary of a simple farmer who became a pilgrim, He wanted to go to Constantinople. And he wrote his diary. He was barely literate. He had two books only. His possessions consisted of three or four things. He had a rosary, he had a Bible, he had a copy of the Philokalia, and he had a leather bag for keeping water. That's all he had. All his early possessions were only those four things. Even those four things were stolen by some robbers, unfortunately. Somehow he got them back by the grace of God. He prayed. He got the rosary back. 2 rubles he had that the robbers took away. They did not return the 2 rubles. All the cash he had in his whole life was only 2 rubles, like $2. Lost. Didn't matter. What did he do? Constantly repeated the Jesus mantra. The Jesus mantra has a couple of different variations. The version that he repeated was, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Simple mantra. We have so many mantras in our tradition. But in Christianity, there are 4 or 5 different mantras. This is the most common one. Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. One of those. So under the instruction of a Christian monk who gave him this mantra initiation, this pilgrim repeated that mantra non-stop, round the clock. Even in sleep, it went on its own, automatically. It went on autopilot. Ajapa japa. He explains his experiences, so many things, very interesting. It's a gripping book. If you start reading it, you can't put it down, especially the first part. So interesting, so full of incidents. He repeated this mantra non-stop. It was difficult, as it is for all of us. The same problems that we encounter when we sit down to do japa for half an hour, he encountered in the beginning. Mind wandered every which place, manuvato dohundi sifirai, it happened to him. In all the 10 directions the mind wandered. Hand became numb, headache came, backache came, knee pain came. But he persisted through all of that. Finally he got established in that practice and it went on effortlessly, joyfully. So that is tapa, that is japa. Yajnanam japa yajnasmi. By doing these 3 things, yajna, dana, tapas, mind becomes purified, and that is the 5th instruction of Shankara, papauga pariduyatam, wash away all your sins. Now the 6th instruction, which we will not be able to complete today, is bhavasukhe doshonu sandhiyatam. Bhavasukha means worldly pleasures. The pleasure that we get by acquiring something that we want to have, we are familiar with those things. The pleasure that we get by having a family, children, wife or husband, spouse or relatives. The pleasure that we get by experiencing something, sensory pleasure. The happiness we get by achieving some power, fame, name, position, wealth, all these things. This is all bhavasukha. Bhavasukhe, in these kinds of worldly pleasures, happiness that the world can bring, dosha anusandhiyatam, dwell on the shortcomings of this kind of pleasure. This is not really happiness at all. As we saw earlier, we are going to see some more details. Very interesting topic, very fascinating topic. What we think as happiness is no happiness at all. It is really not happiness. Why? We'll examine that next time. It requires a little bit more time. This also comes in the Kathopanishad. Nachiketa had this wisdom to reject all the offerings that Yama made. He refused to settle for all these pleasures that Yama offered, large kingdom, very long span of life, and music and dance and chariots and everything. When all these things were offered to Nachiketa, instead of knowledge that Nachiketa was seeking, Yama offered all those things. Nachiketa refused, steadfastly refused to settle for these temporary debilitating sense pleasures and steadfastly sought the joy of the self. Knowledge of the self. That comes in Kathopanishad. Swamiji is teaching Kathopanishad Wednesday evenings. So we will pursue that sixth instruction. Bhavasukhe doshonusandhiyatam. Sri Krishna says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Krishna says, Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. What we erroneously think of as happiness is no happiness at all. Why? And how to seek true happiness? We will go to the next instruction when the next opportunity comes. Bhavasukhe dosho anusandhiyatam, sixth instruction. Now I shall say the closing prayer and then Swamiji will make the announcements. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from diseases, may all realize what is auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om peace, may there be peace and joy in our hearts, may there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.